The story that contemporary records tell. In her statement, "I cannot tell what the future may reveal," made on the day the conference session in Minneapolis closed, Ellen White suggests a question for which only time could supply the answer: what would be the fruitage of the contest over the matter of the vital truth of righteousness by faith? Two lines of documentation are available today in which we may seek the answer. One, more commonly available and perhaps the most dramatic, consists of the messages of counsel and reproof to those, largely in Battle Creek, who made up a hard core of resistance, and to several conference presidents. From this source, somewhat extensive in volume and severe in its terminology, the impression of truth rejected is easily reached. The other line of documentation, less bold in its impact but more representative of the overall situation, is found in 1. The records of meetings held in the churches. 2. The responses to the message. 3. Steps taken by the General Conference Committee keeping Jones and Wagoner to the front as the leading Bible exponents in the church through the decade following Minneapolis. 4. A close scrutiny of all E.G. White statements touching on the matter. And 5. The testimony offered by those who gained great blessings at Minneapolis through the acceptance of the message. Of such there were not a few. One can assess somewhat the feel of favorable reaction represented by the testimony of one witness. "My father, W. S. Hyatt, frequently rehearsed to me the great spiritual revival that took place among the ministers at that meeting, and he personally shared in that revival. It has always been my understanding that while a few of the workers failed to accept and understand the principles of righteousness by faith at that time, yet the great majority of the workers accepted it and entered into a new experience. A number of them showed their sincerity by being rebaptized, among them was my father. I believe that that experience my father gained at Minneapolis followed him in his work through the rest of his lifetime."
DF 189, W. S. Hyatt Statement, October 19, 1960.
Perhaps the true attitude of the church and its leaders toward Jones and Wagoner after the 1888 conference session is best reflected by the invitations extended to these two men to conduct Bible studies in the general conference sessions held during the next 10 years. It must be remembered that the General Conference Committee was responsible for planning general conference sessions and choosing the speakers. The church organization had many able preachers. The choices made reveals the sentiments of church leaders. Here is the historical picture. In 1889, Jones took the 8 o'clock daily Bible study and spoke on righteousness by faith. Wagoner also addressed the conference. In 1891, 17 Bible studies were recorded in the General Conference Bulletin. All but one of these were given by Wagoner. In 1893, Jones gave 24 consecutive Bible studies, which were published in the General Conference Bulletin. In 1895, 26 consecutive studies by Jones were recorded. In 1897, 19 Bible studies were given by Wagoner and 11 by Jones. One man spoke on consecutive mornings, the other on consecutive afternoons. A large part of the bulletin is made up of the reports of their 30 studies. In 1899, Wagoner gave 3 studies and Jones 7. It is clear that the rank and file of workers and laity alike respected and appreciated the men through whom light came at Minneapolis, and benefited from their earnest ministry of the word. It is clear also that unprecedented opportunity was given for the presentation of whatever messages burdened their hearts. In 1897, Jones was elected editor of the Review and Herald, a position he held for 4 years. During this time, Smith took a second place on the editorial staff.